It's a breezy comedy about how gentrification and corporate influences can never remove the soul of a neighborhood. Right? It can't, right? Oh, turns out it can. Barbershop 2, back in business, was the number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Movie in America.
Movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Hello, my name's Sean Collier. I'm here with two people who went to the wrong party. Why are all of these narcs here? It's Camila Adams.
Motherfucking King Kong.
And Robin Hitchcock.
Dead by 11 a.m.
Training Day. 87 and two-thirds. That is 15th overall on our list of 200-plus movies we have rated. So very, very high. 15th,
good movie.
15th for the group. Tied for fourth for Camila.
Ah, interesting.
And in a four-way tie, you have given, frankly, great film festival. Training Day, Purple Rain, Seven, and Get Out have all gotten a 95 from you.
This weekend, guys.
Yeah. I was just going to say, literally could start that this afternoon and not stop until it's over. Even though I just watched Training Day, would watch it again.
Absolutely.
I was, my cable is doing a weird thing, which is, hey, cable,
I was just gonna
you
say,
better
oh,
be perfect anymore.
Yeah. Like, I know, right.
You better like satisfy every, I think I'll turn on the actual TV whim or else.
Well, because now streaming has that, you know, like now they have all those live channels. Right. Like my TV, when it turns on, plays the live Murder, She Wrote channel.
Oh,
nice.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Mine does Three's Company.
Excellent.
But I was hoping Training Day was on. I was like, I hope I start flipping around and find Training. I'm halfway through. That'd be great. Yeah, we liked it a lot. Here's a different movie. It's I have very, very limited engagement with this series.
Did you watch the first one?
What, like this week?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Have you seen it before?
No, I know that it was out when I was working at the movie theater.
So probably it, yes.
I saw much of it in
bits and pieces.
Break length pieces.
Yeah.
And have some memories of it, but that was all I had ever done with it.
I remember seeing the original when it came out and loving it. Like one of those movies where I had no expectation of it being anywhere near as good as it was. And then I was like, well, that was just delightful. And then for whatever reason, never saw this one. But I loved Beauty Shop. I was talking to a friend of the show, Liz Labaz, and I was like, do you remember watching Beauty Shop? She's like, yes. And so I didn't realize this was like the backdoor pilot of Beauty Shop.
Yeah, I did see... I saw the original one and loved it, just like Robin. Also, it introduced me to Michael Ealy. Thank you.
Yes. Although I rewatched the original. He's like not fully leveled up at that point.
No.
He's way cuter in Barbershop 2. And he's,
yes.
And I would say he's gotten even more handsome as the years have gone
well,
by.
Well, obviously, yes. Yeah. But it's just like, it's whatever this character, Ricky, I think it is.
Yeah, Ricky.
Ricky, it's... That was my catnip at that point in time.
Fuck boys? But
yeah. Yeah.
Poor Camila.
Exactly. And also, and bringing the other one, Troy Garrity, Isaac,
yes.
I think was his name. Yeah,
Isaac
another
is his
one,
name.
The fucking, sorry if this offends, but Wiggers. I had a period about that for that time.
I was about to be like, you're.
A period.
I was to be like, you're allowed to say it? If anyone is allowed to say it.
Right, yeah. But I really love this
cute.
One.
You're right.
He's so, yeah.
He's very cute, and he's, because he's dumb.
Right?
Yeah.
He's just got the,
dumb and talented.
Yes. And I saw the second one, and remember being disappointed and never watched it again. So.
What'd you think this time?
It was fine.
It was fine.
It had its moments.
Yeah.
There were some chuckles, but still, it's like, I never need to see it again.
But you know what I watched this week that is a real turd?
What?
Barbershop, The Next Cut.
I never even watched it.
2016. Woof.
Are any of the...
So it's just Ice Cube and... Is it Cedric or Cedric?
Cedric.
Cedric the Entertainer.
Okay.
And then, like, Regina Hall is there, but like she's got the best hair I've ever seen, but that's all that they give her to do is look amazing. There's a cameo from Troy Garrity, but like most of the crew is gone and it's all about gang violence. And like they forgot to write jokes.
Yeah.
It's a very special episode of Barbershop. And it was co-written. I think it must have been two drafts. It feels like a script fighting with itself, but it's the woman whose name I was escaping me who wrote Girls Trip. Okay. And then Kenya Barris, who did Black-ish.
Yeah.
And you just feel his voice so aggressively and so artificially. It's just a bad, bad movie.
That's a shame.
Yeah. But this one I enjoyed.
Yeah.
Like it's not as I feel like the first one is such just like lightning in a bottle of like the chemistry is just pumping and the characters all work. And then this one it's like, let's do it again. And they don't quite get into third gear, but I enjoyed it.
It's not unenjoyable. It's very, you know, easy to watch.
Yes.
From beginning to end. It just to me it felt like there were a few too many. It felt like a half season of a sitcom mushed into an hour and a half.
There was a sitcom of this, right?
We'll get into that. But I just thought there was just too much stuff happening. I think
the Cedric's plot line, I don't think that was necessary.
Flashbacks are my favorite part, though.
Well, it's like it wasn't done right.
I wish it were consistent.
I wrote down at one point, did I nod off for the scene that makes me understand why we're doing all these flashbacks?
Right. No, the it's all like origin story for Eddie, and why doesn't Eddie pay Booth rent? It's like the long tale of why. Yeah, Eddie doesn't
pay Booth rent. It's not done well, and also like let's bring in Loretta in there.
Yeah,
like that felt like I don't like. Why do I care about them reuniting at the like? You know, like we didn't get enough of whatever. Like it's cute, but it's also like we didn't get enough of like. Did they actually get married? Why did she leave? But what's going on?
It's like a sitcom B plot. It's you know, there's an episode where the main thing's happening, and then there's 6 minutes of Eddie mentions his long lost love.
Right.
And then they run into each other. And that wraps that story up.
Yeah.
It's speaking of too much plot, I said off mic, Robin, this will be easy to recap even though you haven't prepared. And now I don't know if it is.
I have prepared. It's written out. I just haven't practiced reading it in under a minute.
You're fine.
So who knows how long it's going to go. All right. Are we ready?
And go.
July 4th, 1967, young Eddie evades the police by taking refuge at the barbershop. Roll credits. Barbershop culture is Black culture is American culture! Exclamation point. Present day. Everything's good at the barbershop now that Calvin has embraced his purpose. We catch up with the rest of the team. Jimmy, the snobby one, is working for an alderman. Isaac, the white one, has become a sought-after stylist. Ricky, the hot one, is studying for his GED and hooking up with Terry, the girl one. Dinka, the African one, isn't sad because he's getting tail elsewhere. Keenan, the new one, is scrappy-doo. But here comes gentrification. Local business are considering selling out to a big-time land developer, and Calvin feels extra pressure because a Supercuts but for Black people is opening across the street. Jimmy asks the alderman for help, but the alderman is corrupt. The barbershop throws a cookout to appreciate the community, but it does not solve their problems, even though Kiki Palmer comes. So Calvin tries to gentrify the shop from within with strict rules and bland decor. This does not work. Back in the 60s, Eddie's courts Loretta after chasing an L on a fire engine, and then single-handedly saves the barbershop in the 68 riots with a powerful stare, earning free booth rent for life. There's a backdoor pilot for the spin-off movie Beauty Shop, starring Academy Award nominee Queen Latifah. And in the end, Calvin gives an impassioned speech about the importance of neighborhood roots and local culture, but the land developers get approval for their deal anyway. The barbershop somehow thrives regardless, so the plot was moot.
They were over like 15 seconds.
Yeah, but, didn't practice.
It's okay.
There's a lot of stuff in there.
There is. There's a lot more than I remember.
I also wanted to visit all the characters because my whole thesis of this movie or this series is that like it's just great characters,
right?
Yeah,
and who cares really what happens in the plot? That's
true
why
story.
I'm like, I think this movie is still good even though there's plot issues because I like hanging out with these people.
But it probably should have been 10 minutes of hanging out with the characters, 5 minutes of oh damn that
gentrification.
10 more minutes of hanging out with the characters, advance the plot, like just do that for 85 minutes.
Yeah.
And we don't need to add in all this other stuff.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? You could play a drinking game with this episode and drink every time we say gentrification. Mm-hmm. You will die.
since I was busy and didn't even look it up, tell me basically what happens in the first one.
So let's see. We meet everybody, and the Keith David is the guy.
I missed Keith David. What happened?
He's like
David.
A loan shark.
Yes, he's a loan shark, and Calvin sells the shop to him because he wants to start a recording studio.
Yes, and he's trying to like do quote unquote better by his family, and so he feels like he has other aspirations than just being a barber, and this was his dad's shop, and so he sells the thing to the loan shark, and then he changes his mind swiftly, and then he needs to like then Keith David is like he sells it to him for $20,000. And then he's like, nope, you can't renege. And now I'll give it back to you for $40,000. And so there's the shenanigans ensue.
Mm-hmm. I'd imagine he gets the shop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a whole subplot with, what's his name?
Anthony Anderson.
Anthony Anderson and Lorenz Tate's brother steal a
Mac. That's ATM. Lorenz Tate's brother?
Yeah. Steal an ATM machine.
An empty ATM.
Right. Oh, I remember that sequence. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That was a really good scene when the convenience store owner gives him a free juice, but nothing else.
Yes. Yeah. He's trying to take other things, too, and he's like, no.
Well, this one, the sequel, Barbershop 2 Back in Business, was released February 6th of 2004. It was the fifth number one movie of that year. Won its weekend with $24.2 million, defeating the debuting Miracle. Not a number one movie.
Miracle about ice hockey?
The hockey movie. Okay. Debuted in second with 19 points. Kurt Russell's in it. It's about the
Miracle on Ice.
Nope.
It's white people culture.
Yep.
There was this team of American amateurs that beat the Soviet professionals during the height of the Cold War at the Olympics. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember it being a nice movie.
That's what I've never seen. I saw the documentary version. There was a documentary version that just came out before this year's Winter Olympics that was very good. And that, anyway, Miracle isn't on our list, so you can go back to not knowing about it. Barbershop 2 was a 1 week winner, as you'd imagine. Fell to second behind 50 First Dates, which didn't make all that much money, $39.8 million.
Wasn't bad.
This was not really a hit. It spent 5 weeks in the top 10, $65.1 million, 44th overall for 2004. That's a small decrease from the original. Barbershop was released September 13th of 2002, $20.6 million in its opening weekend, won a slow second weekend with $12.8 million, $75.7 million overall, a little bit higher than the sequel. It was 36th for 2002. And there's much more to the Barbershop empire, as Robin indicated. Beauty Shop, the spinoff, was released March 30th, 2005. Not a number one movie in America. Debuted in second behind fellow debut Sin City. Not really a hit. It made $36 million. Bit more than a decade later, Barbershop, the next cut, debuted in second behind The Jungle Book. Made $54 million, which I feel like I didn't even know it happened.
I had no idea it existed. And Colin, the morning after we watched Barbershop 2, while he was like still mostly asleep, was like, can we watch Barbershop Back to School tonight? And I was like, sure. And
is that the third one?
No, it doesn't exist.
He just dreamed up.
Okay.
Oh, would they have to like go to barber college? Yes. That'd be fun. Right? That'd be good.
Ask me to bring up. Remember how there used to be those signs on the side of the road that said barber school?
They're still out there.
They're still out there. Yeah. I think that those signs incepted him into believing that Barbershop Back to School is a movie that exists.
Was there ever a definitive answer for what those are?
I don't know. I assume they're ads for barber school.
No, because there's no information on them. I assumed they were part of like
it's somebody who's bought the SEO for barber school.
Barber school.
Here we go. We're learning about things.
All right. I mean, there are barber schools, but this doesn't point me to one in particular. I assumed because they were so weird, they had the question mark, but they look innocuous, that it was part of some kind of like law enforcement or FBI training thing. like
what?
Like, you know, it was in the course of some faux investigation, you would find these signs.
That is a wild assumption.
It is. That is wow. Okay, you've given a lot of thought to this.
It looks like part of
world.
It looks like part of a scavenger hunt. It's clearly not a real thing.
If anybody knows, let us know.
Say quote barber school question mark close quotation. Oh, Robin, you were right. Those mysterious blue barber school signs are a long-running guerrilla marketing campaign for the Pittsburgh Barber School.
Based in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, that's a here thing.
I thought that was an everywhere thing.
Guess not.
Huh, man. I hate that that's just what it seemed like. Anyway. So boring.
I wish we lived in your world where it was right. An elaborate training op.
Or like, sounds like a junior, script. Or I just blanked on the name Jodie Foster in the beginning of Silence of the Lambs has to like find all the barber school signs in 2 hours to pass the. There was a Showtime series of Barbershop starring Omar the Other Gooding, which aired in August of 2005 on Showtime. It was canceled after one season, 10 episodes.
Okay.
And yet, last year, Amazon gave a full season order to another Barbershop TV series.
I think it makes sense as a TV show because it's character-based.
Right, yes. It absolutely does. And also, the Barbershop in itself is a character.
Right.
Yeah. Its own, like in real life. So. Mm-hmm.
It'll feature Jermaine Fowler, Roy Wood Jr., Punky Johnson, and more. So
that sounds awesome.
Sure. I like Punky.
Of course, there's a mildly successful soundtrack album led by Not Today by Mary J. Blige and Eve, Fallen by Maya and Chingy. It also features Outkast, G-Unit, Sean Paul, D12, Mobb Deep. It peaked at number 18 on the Billboard albums chart.
Would this be like one of the last ones that we would have gotten like a sound? Like,
2004. I'm trying to think, like I bought the Kill Bill soundtracks, but that's around the same time, right? Isn't that 2003, 2004? Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. C'est la vie.
It was a time. Your director is Kevin Rodney Sullivan, who is basically a TV director who was having a brief tryout run as a movie director.
I thought he directed Stella, How Stella Got Her
Groove. He did How Stella Got Her Groove Back. That was his, like, maybe this guy can do it. Then he did Barbershop 2 and Guess Who, the Guess Who's Coming to Dinner remake.
I've seen that.
And then everyone kind of went, no, he can't. And he went back to TV and he did very well. Grey's Anatomy, NCIS. He did a lot of Riverdale and Sabrina, so my wife has certainly appreciated his work. The Good Fight, This Is Us. Tim Story, who is still kind of a so-so director, but much more accomplished, did the first film and did not return. Among the production companies here is, yes, Cube Vision, which was founded by Ice Cube in 1995. Any guesses at the other movies that Cube Vision produced?
Do they all have Ice Cube in them?
Yeah.
Literally all of them.
Okay.
Every last one.
Ride Along? No, that wasn't him. Was it?
Yep.
That
both,
was him.
Both Ride Along movies.
Are We There Yet?
Both Are We There Yet movies.
Maybe one of the early other Fridays?
Every Friday movie.
Every Friday.
That's all. Friday, Dangerous Ground, The Players Club. Next Friday, All About the Benjamins, Barbershop. Friday after next, Barbershop 2, Are We There Yet? Beauty Shop, Are We Done Yet? First Sunday? No, he's in that one too.
Good for him.
The Long Shots, Janky Promoters, that was his 2009. Can I do one like the old way again? Nope.
Pad your paycheck, buddy.
Yeah. So, hey, good for him.
Bless.
Confusing is that apparently there's some co-production with Disney on an Oliver Twist movie.
No. Hard pass.
What?
Sorry to Google again.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Ice Cube, Oliver Twist. Is
he playing the Artful Dodger?
Disney is developing a modern musical adaptation of Charles Dickens' Oliver Twist with Ice Cube set to star as the pickpocket ringleader Fagin.
Okay.
Is
that's who I think I thought I meant, by the way.
So, yeah, that's a thing.
I don't really feel like we're actually ever going to see that movie. That's one of those movies that sounds like it won't really exist.
Yeah.
But I've said that before.
There's not a lot of updates since this was announced 10 years ago. Okay. Oh, there we go. All right. It's not going to exist. That's absolutely
my
not going to happen.
My spidey sense was tingling.
And finally, yes, please welcome Kiki Palmer, making her on-screen debut in this film.
As Lauren. She's credited, She's credited as Lauren Palmer. Kiki Palmer. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. But wasn't it like Laura... Yeah. Tina's niece, or what's Queen Latifah's character?
Gina.
Gina's
yes,
niece.
She is credited as Gina's niece as Lauren Kiki Palmer.
Oh, yes. Okay. Gina's niece, Lauren Kiki Palmer.
Yes.
And she later said that she did not get a role in Are We There Yet after doing this role, and Ice Cube did not recognize her. But
rude.
Yeah.
But didn't she become, like, didn't she go on tour with Queen Latifah after this?
I don't know. They were in Akila and the Bee. No, stop. I'm thinking of Secret Life of Bees. Was she in Secret Life?
She's in Akila.
She is Akila, yes. But Queen Latifah wasn't in
Angela Bassett's in that.
Right.
Yes.
And Lawrence Fishburne.
I don't think I've ever seen that movie, and I need to see it.
It's so cute.
Yeah.
And then there's Secret Life of Bees that Queen Latifah's in, and I think Kiki Palmer's in that one.
That I'd believe you. Is that about bees?
Sort of. One of those... Bees stand for whatever else is, you know, like somebody has a bee farm or whatever.
Oh, of course.
Our director, who I mentioned, what's his name? I just said it and he's still forgettable. Kevin Rodney Sullivan. Why is the camera moving like it's on the deck of the ship? I know that was a thing.
That was the style at the time. Yes.
We are standing in a barber shop. There's no action, and I assume the ground isn't moving.
Right.
So what are you trying to convey here?
Listen, there was this movie called Black Hawk Down.
Yeah, the direction brought it down for me, and I like him much of the time. Boy, did Keenan bring this down for me.
Oh, he's bad in this.
I know. It really hurts my feelings.
Yeah, like, I felt bad saying Scrappy-Doo, but I mean it.
Yeah.
He's best when he is in a silly environment playing it relatively straight.
Yeah.
Like, he's perfect in Snakes on a Plane.
Okay,
I've never seen Snakes on a Plane.
Oh, you gotta see Snakes on a Plane. It is precisely what you think it is.
Yeah.
But
so this is like right after, this is right before or his beginnings of SNL.
I think he's got to be on there by now. Yeah. I
mean, he's just been on all for that so long.
Or something.
Yeah. Well, All That was.
And Kenan and Kel. And,
oh, that's right. Kenan and Kel came after All That.
And
didn't
then Good Burger.
Yeah.
But it feels like they told him, like, you be the goofy one. Yeah. And it's like, no, we don't need that energy at all. The humor here is based on people kind of deadpanning.
Right. And they did have somebody kind of like that in the first one, but he wasn't he would just like pop in and out, like maybe, mm-hmm. you know, for a couple minutes. And that would be enough for what they're trying to do. Yeah.
And I feel like they were trying to do something with, because he defects to the supercuts.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I feel like they were trying to do something with, like, emotional with that, because isn't he like Calvin's nephew or something?
It's his wife's nephew. But like, Calvin never, from jump, like, we see that Calvin just like, I don't care for this dude. He's like that.
Yeah. That's exactly.
Like, Michael Ealy is like, explain it.
It's like, you can't like,
that's my wife's people.
You can't get any pathos out of this when the character's so goofy.
Right.
So why mm-hmm. bother?
Yeah. I am shocked that he didn't throw the basketball through the fish tank.
Yeah, that's what I thought was going to happen.
I was sure. That just ended with like tearing some paper down. Yeah. I'm like, this is way less wacky.
I was so anxious. I left that out of my recap. I should have put that in. That scene made me incredibly anxious when they break into the competitor.
Mm-hmm.
And because this was funny when they like the rumors that get out of control about what's happening right. over there. I did love that bit.
Yeah.
But like, the whole time they were there, I'm like, this is a bad idea. This is a bad idea. Why are you touching those clippers? Why are you touching those clippers? Don't do this. Don't do this.
Yeah, stuff. Everything's like, you're going to break something. Something's going to set on fire. I just saw like a whole thing of like Final Destination situation happening that was going to just like end it with explosion. I don't understand why once the paper was down, like why, like old dude was trying to hide, but why didn't he just leave? Like, you know, whatever, Sean Patrick, whatever his name is.
But, he has three first names.
Yeah. Sean Patrick Thomas.
That sounds right.
Not to be confused with Sean Patrick Flannery.
Mm-hmm.
It's only two first names.
I did appreciate.
Actually, I guess Flannery is a lady's first name, right? Like Flannery O'Connor.
Yeah.
Okay.
I did appreciate about that subplot that they make fun of places that put fish in the floor. I really hate when there are fish in the floor.
It's so unnecessary.
And it's
you've been places where there are fish in the floor?
There is an establishment I will not name in Pittsburgh that is still in business. It's a restaurant that in their like foyer has koi fish in the floor. And it is like a straight concrete pit.
Yeah.
Like two square cubic feet of hole with some fish in it. And it's so weird because it's not even like intellectually, is that any different than a koi pond? Probably not. But it feels so weird because it's just this bare pit with some living creatures in it.
Yeah.
And you're stomping on their faces.
And you're walking over them and you're about to go eat sushi. So right. You're like,
why do I want to see
this? This is so. And so this is probably 15 years ago. I wrote a blog post that was like, hey, great happy hour deals here. Just thinking about the fish. excellent location. What a great place to go if you're in the neighborhood for this and that. But the fish, though, I really enjoyed my meal when I wasn't thinking about the fish. And this was one of the times when the owners were so pissed at
really?
Me. Like, it was one of those, you don't know what it is to put your blood, sweat, and tears into a business and build something from the ground up, only to have someone criticize you publicly over some stupid fish. And I'm like, hey, man, I said all the food was good. I just said the fish was weird.
Yeah.
Some people.
So I felt seen when Ice Cube was making fun of the idea of there being fish on the floor.
I like how his wife was like, it was probably somebody that dropped the filet of fish on the floor.
I love his wife is so charming. Is she in other stuff? I don't really recognize her.
I don't recognize her from
anything.
She's
incredibly charming.
They really underwrote the family.
Yeah.
Because one of my favorite scenes in this is Ice Cube talking to a baby.
Which is in the trailer.
For generations, Calvin's Barbershop has been the place where you can say anything.
There's something wrong with R. Kelly, man.
Y'all see the tape?
I think it was set up.
Oh, yeah, you set up, man. He set up the camera.
And everyone knows your business.
Now, you know that should have been your baby, right?
I know, huh? After Calvin and I stopped dating, he opted for the small instead of the supersize.
This February.
Calvin, come look.
Man, what the hell is nappy cuts?
Now to save the neighborhood.
We're about to get proactive rather than reactive.
They'll have to fight back.
If they want to send us back in, it's on and cracking.
MGM Pictures presents.
This is burnt. I'm not gonna eat it.
You know what? Use your way.
Ice Cube.
A real barbershop, got real people, and most of all, real barbers.
Cedric the Entertainer.
We in a crisis right here, and you can double my rent.
Eddie, you don't even pay no rent.
Well, in that case, triple it then.
Sean Patrick Thomas.
You being nice to me?
I don't know this woman.
Eve.
Would you know me if I shoved my foot up yet?
And a special appearance by Queen Latifah.
All done.
Do I look like Beyonce?
Just like her.
Say that, give me some.
For sure, yes. Hit the
Barbershop, back in business.
Hey, man, you know, one day this whole shop's all gonna be yours.
I think Ice Cube Talks to Babies would be a better series than
yeah. No, I don't know. I like this.
No,
I didn't appreciate the way, and I don't remember a lot from Beauty Shop, but I don't appreciate the way they introduce Gina with the way she talks to Calvin and behaves with him and talks about his wife in front of other people.
Yeah, it's rude.
Like, what the fuck?
She's his ex?
Yeah.
Yeah, which I don't think I understood until I watched that trailer. I think I was zoning out during that sentence because that vibe, that dynamic is very weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the blowing the kisses out the window
yeah.
and just talking about her hate. Like, that's just not okay.
And also, I will say Beauty Shop, like, I remembered it so fondly, but like one thing that I struggled with rewatching it this week is I was like, this really doesn't do any, it doesn't spend much time with the beauty shop culture. It really is more like mean European Kevin Bacon is going to get send the health inspector after us, right? It's like hijinks as opposed to like, this is what means to people,
right? Yeah, you're right,
because I think it is important.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I personally don't like to spend a lot of time in the beauty shop, but it means something to somebody.
I just came from the salon, and the white lady salon culture is meaningful to me.
It's just, I'm just so impatient. That's my problem. I get bored easily, and not for nothing, I would prefer to just sit there and read.
Yeah.
And I don't need the chit chat, and I would like to have that option.
That a thing though? Can't you like rock up?
Not
maybe book?
not. I can, yeah. But like,
it feels like an insult to the stylist.
They should make Like that introvert stylist shop. That is what you need.
Right. Or like, you know, they already make me book online now. So have that option be like, I don't want to talk. I just
like a quiet
read.
Ride.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like Uber.
Yeah.
And yes, I do bring a book and I sit there and read it, and sometimes they still want to talk to me.
I talk. In fact, I today was like, I probably can't talk as much as normal because I need to save some of my voice for the pod. You know, also, I routinely am like, the other day at therapy, and I mean the other day at the salon.
I mean, mine is one of my best friends from high school, so I can't.
Yeah, that's nice.
So I pretty much have to talk. Because it's also our, like, we're catching up.
Yeah, well, that's nice.
Yeah.
What I wanted to say about the trailer, I do love that we have trailer voice man here.
Yeah.
This trailer really feels very 22 years old in a way that I loved, that scratched a niche for me.
I like that. It feels like... My criticism is it feels like an Every Good Joke trailer, even though it isn't.
It really isn't.
But it watching it makes me go, I think I've seen everything I need
to see. So it's not an effective trailer in that it doesn't make you want to go see the movie.
And it doesn't have the best joke, which is, I think Vin Diesel is half car.
I think my favorite bit, aside from the eye candy, is that at the very end when Eddie starts to talk about Luther Vandross and everybody like seriously like, no, you cannot talk about Luther.
What did Luther Vandross do?
He didn't do anything.
Came out as gay.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's just that he's such a beloved.
Yes. Right. Okay. But my read on that scene, because everybody else they talked about did something bad.
Yeah.
I was like, oh God, did he do something?
No.
No. Okay. Thank God.
Yeah. I think he was just like going to have jokes about Luther.
Okay. And then there's always like, the whole absolutely thing, like, not.
Right. You will not.
That will not stand.
Yes. Yeah. And
sex with mini me jokes do really place this at a moment in time.
My God.
Don't they?
That it's gave like, me a visual that I would like to just, I would like to burn out of my brain.
But yeah, seriously, this is very old fashioned in a lot of, not just the trailer, the movie itself is, it clearly came out a long time ago.
Yes. And here's the eye bleach for that visual is that angry makeout session. Oof. That woke me up.
Yeah, it did. I feel like I sat up.
That meme of the guy leaning forward to play the video game.
Right.
If anything, that was cut off too soon.
And I love Troy's ooh.
They were cute together.
They were.
The scene in the car, and
then towards the end, like when they're like, "Oh, you don't try to play us," like coming from different directions, and she's starting to get all hot and bothered. You notice that he like tugs at her purse bag to like calm her down a little bit. That was the sweetest thing. Mm-hmm.
She ends up marrying Common in the third one.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, where's... Just because he's not in the movie?
He's not in the movie. And I think, don't they decide they don't want to be together?
I don't think so.
This isn't the Wikipedia plot summary, at least.
No, because like towards the end, like the last scene, like they look like they're together.
Okay, plot summary, lied.
Lies they tell.
And I really like the scene where he goes to apologize to Dinka, and Dinka is like, I have a woman.
I'm
right
good.
Here.
I forgive you. We're cool.
There is abundant fish in the sea, my friend.
Mm-hmm. Which you have to at least, Sean, to just Google... Ricky explaining to Dinga like how to handle or how to get women
from the first one.
Yeah, the first one, because that is an excellent little. Damn it, Michael Ealy.
Yeah, he's just so good looking.
He's so fucking pretty.
It's so just pretty. Silly, truthfully. Eve is also surprisingly good in this.
Yeah,
I think she should have acted more.
The opposite of Macy Gray in Training Day.
Yes.
Yeah. Also, shout out to Eve for her glow up.
Yeah.
Living in a castle now in London.
What is going on with her? Like, good for her.
Right. Yeah. Yes. She married some London, I don't know, prince. I don't think he's a prince or anything, but.
Guy who has a castle.
Yeah. A guy who has a castle.
So like, she doesn't
living
need to.
In London. She's completely no longer the fucking Hollaback girl or whatever she was doing with. with Gwen Stefani, and she's no longer shaking her tambourine.
I was 1 degree removed from a phone call with Eve.
Wow. What does that mean?
I was interviewing Zoe Bell on the phone during the making of Whip It, I want to say.
Cool.
Are they both in that?
I believe you.
Roller derby movie?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
And she was in the middle of a sentence and was like, oh, hey, girl. Oh, Eve's here.
Yeah.
And that was exciting.
That is exciting. Yeah. You're like, tell her I said hi. Mm-hmm.
She was so cool. That's one of the, I mean, I know that
Joey
she's,
Bell.
Yeah, yeah, I know that she's not one of the biggest, most famous people in the world, but that's one of the best celebrity interviews I've ever done, just because she was actively engaged in having a real conversation. Where's she?
I don't know.
She got seriously hurt.
That's probably where.
During, but that was before then. Oh. She got seriously hurt during Kill Bill.
Oh, okay.
Wait, she was in Kill Bill?
She's the stunt double.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay, so Eve married some dude named Maximilian Cooper in 2014. And they have a kid named Wild Wolf. Okay.
Oh, brother.
Mostly still stunt work. She's mostly back to stunt stuff.
I really liked her in Death Proof.
Oh, yeah.
She is the only thing I liked in Death Proof, a movie I hated.
You hate Death Proof?
I love that movie.
Hate.
Really?
Okay, well, flames on the side of my face.
I'll take that off of.
Change your little treat.
Yeah, exactly.
Was that going to be your little treat?
No. Oh, okay. But it was on the short list.
Oh, my God.
What's your thesis?
It hates women and is gross.
No, it's a women empowerment movie.
Really?
They take revenge on.
So. Like, yes, whole,
it's a revenge. It's the second in his revenge arc.
Yes.
The women who are victimized beat up. The
first hour is all conversations that don't sound like anyone who's ever talked to a woman.
Granted, but we've seen Tarantino movies before, so we're used to it.
But it just couldn't do it.
Yes, the dialogue is horrible. I hate Eli Roth. And Quentin is fucking ugh. But, like, it's just, it's so, the, I love.
The fucking atmosphere in that one. The rain outside the bar. And there's so many great actresses who we didn't get a lot of.
Yeah.
Sydney Poitier.
Yeah.
She's great.
Yeah. And I think when I went to Austin after that movie, we went to that bar to just to try to do a little Death Proof tour.
It was one of those movies where I'm like, I see why people like this. Watching this is an actively unpleasant experience that I wish I had never subjected myself to. Yeah.
I watch that thing at least once a year.
Yeah. Oh my God. Hated it.
Barbershop 2. I don't know. It's not really good, but it's not bad. And Ice Cube did something suspiciously resembling acting at the council meeting. So I give it credit for that.
Yeah.
60?
I give it a 67.
I'm going to go 68. I enjoyed this. I had a good time.
65 is your score. A very respectable middle of the pack for a sequel that didn't try that hard and still did okay.
Yeah. Also, I think Barbershop 2, Beauty Shop that's a great afternoon. Mm. Just
Barbershop 1, 2, and Beauty Shop?
Yes. Yeah. Just enjoy that day.
Yeah. That's a nice Sunday.
Yeah.
Do we have a bingo card? The bingo card was killed on the way to its home planet.
totally forgot about it.
We'll task you with inventing the next incarnation of the bingo card for the next episode, because we'll have three movies to talk about.
Hooray!
So should we do that?
Yeah, let's do it.
We're not going to draw a movie. When was our last? It was like 3 years ago, wasn't it?
Probably.
It was when we were recording at Rugged Angel.
Was that Five Heartbeats for me?
Yep. Yeah.
Five Heartbeats, Carnival of Souls, and magazine movie.
Between the Lines.
Between the Lines. Newspaper movie?
It's a weekly newspaper movie.
Yeah.
All weekly newspaper.
Which I clearly remember. It just does not have a memorable
That's
title.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm. Between the Lines is like...
It's fine.
It's not a great title. It was a good movie.
Yeah. All right. Folks, I don't know.
You don't know what you want to do?
No, I'm like, I have some options. So I'm going to sort of feel out the vibes based on where you go.
Sean has to start.
And we might do like the thing that Sean did last little treat where he was like, eliminate one of these.
Mm.
Yeah.
It all comes down to and Uno reverse. I'm giving Robin a choice. Would you rather? Do you want a movie you've already seen? If I'm sure you're going to get more out of it and enjoy the conversation more than the other option, or do you want a movie that you haven't seen?
What do you think I want?
On this one, I truly don't know. That's why I'm asking you. Do you want a fresh experience that I don't know how it's going to go?
I think I want a fresh experience.
Okay.
Oh God,
we're going to be watching The Abominable Dr. Fibes with Vincent Price.
You know what? This has been on my list for a long time.
What?
The Abominable Dr. Fibes is a 1971 kind of horror comedy where Vincent Price, you know what? I don't want to set it up at all.
Okay, so Vincent Price is in it though.
It's a weird Vincent Price movie, yeah. And I don't want to set it up beyond that because I went into it blind and I loved it all the more for it. This is a movie that I didn't see until maybe about 5 or 6 years ago. I was always vaguely aware of it. When I finally watched it, it was like, am I going to go 10 out of 10? I think I probably settled on 9. But British horror comedy from 1971.
All right.
Otherwise, it would have been Don't Look Now.
Oh, which I have seen. And I think I chose right.
Yeah, I mean, I really wanted an excuse to watch Don't Look Now again, which I could just do anytime.
Yes.
But like, I wanted to formalize it, but knowing that you and I had both seen it probably in the past four or five years.
I chose correctly. Good job, Robin.
Yep.
That brings us to Camila.
Okay. Have you guys seen The Perfect Host?
No.
No.
Okay.
The Perfect Host.
Yeah, with Frasier's brother, David Hyde Pierce.
Oh.
Is this a horror movie?
Psychological thriller.
Psychological thriller. Okay, great.
I don't know this.
Okay, that's it then.
Okay.
Because it only works if you guys haven't seen it.
Great. Oh,
all right, then I'm going to get off the Wikipedia page before I see the wrong word.
Okay.
I will also tell you that both of our movies are less than 95 minutes.
Nice.
Great job, us.
Yay.
Okay.
So we have a horror with comedic elements and a psychological thriller.
With also some comedic elements.
So,
okay, so I have a undisputed classic that is available for free, but is, you know, from the late 40s.
Mm-hmm.
I have a modern cult classic, which Sean has probably seen, but I have never seen.
Mm.
And I have a 30-year-old movie that I desperately love, you would have to rent. And I doubt either of you have seen it, but I'm not 100% sure. Camila might have seen it.
Let's see if we agree.
Okay.
I want the one from the 40s because she said it's an undisputed classic. Mm-hmm. And then we've got 40s, 70s, 21st century. We got a nice...
It's 40s, 70s, 90s.
No. I mean, mine is from the 70s. Camila's is 2010, I think.
Yeah.
So then we've got a good, chronological.
That's good. Yeah, sure.
So the 40s?
Yeah.
The Third Man.
Ah, I think I've seen it. Okay. Yeah, I've seen it, but all I would gladly see it again.
Anyway, one of my favorite movies of all time. It's on Tubi right now, and although, like, you know, it's great enough that if you don't want to have fabric softener ads breaking up your classic noir, it's definitely worth the $4.
Oh, interesting.
Orson Welles. It is just a movie that I love with my whole heart, and maybe my second favorite movie ending.
That was the first movie I saw with the Pittsburgh Classic Movie Club, and I really appreciated the movie, but I was also kind of like trying to take in what this thing that I was at was, so I was not like fully paying attention.
Okay.
So this is a great opportunity.
Well, I hope you guys like it. The other choices, by the way, were The Warriors, which I've never seen.
Yeah.
I saw that a while ago.
Okay, I figured you'd both seen it, but I just kind of was like, this is something that I could experience.
It's fun, but it's one of those fun 80s movies where there's nothing to say other than, wasn't it cool when this?
Yeah.
Wasn't it cool when that? Oh, man, they had baseballs painted on their faces. Like, there's not a lot to say there.
And the other one was Before Sunrise, which we talked about last week.
Yeah, I have not seen that, actually.
Well, both of you should watch Before Sunrise, or you can switch.
I think we picked right.
Yeah, okay. I'm good.
Great.
So, the little treats are The Abominable Dr. Fibes, The Third Man, and that thing Camila said.
The Perfect Host.
The Perfect Host. That feels like a good festival.
Yeah.
If anything, the first one, I think we played a little too seriously. Like me going, you have to see and appreciate Carnival of Souls. And you both kind of been like, yeah, okay. I see why that's for you. Like this.
I enjoyed Carnival of Souls.
You did.
That house was awesome.
Yeah.
Or dance floor, whatever that thing was.
That big structure.
Yes.
No, this feels like we all chose fun. Mm. So
that's the thing about The Third Man that I hope you enjoy is that it's this movie. It's like a noir, but it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
It is a fun movie and incredibly dark and yet still feels good to watch.
I got half a mind to go down to Vinegar Syndrome and pick up a physical copy because that's...
Yeah, I like that.
I like an important that movie that feels like it should be in my collection.
Yeah.
So it's time for You Can't Handle the Truth. Happy birthday, Aaron.
Happy birthday, Aaron.
Oh, and
happy
and birthday, I think Aaron. It was, I think it was yesterday, but let us not forget.
It will be several days ago when this episode comes out, right. Nevertheless.
Right. With this podcast, there was 5 years of me and Aaron standing outside of movie theaters before there was 7 years of the three of us in a variety of spaces. Robin, what you watching?
Let's see. I saw The Invite yesterday.
Oh, I want to know whether or not to force that into my schedule.
Force it into your schedule.
Okay.
You'll love it. I only gave it 3.5 stars on Letterboxd. This is a lie. It is because part of the backstory of Seth Rogen's character is that he was in a band that had one popular song. And they're like, well, do we know the song? Play the song. And he's like, I don't let people play the song. And I'm like, if they don't fucking play this song... This is
you're
not
taking away
four.
Half a star.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah. It will not get 4 stars. It cannot crack 4 stars if they don't play the song. And they do not play the song. But honestly, like, it's pushing 4.5 in my heart. It's one of those movies that, like, it's awkward comedy, so I should hate it. And yet I loved it, right? Mm-hmm. And I saw it in a completely packed theater at 4:30 yesterday.
Oh, wow.
I know. It was one of the smaller theaters, but still, there were, like, 3 empty seats. It was wild. And... so fun to listen to other people react to that stuff, you know. If you don't know what this movie's about, it's basically Olivia Wilde, who also directed it, and Seth Rogen are hosting their upstairs neighbors, Ed Norton and Penelope Cruz, for a dinner party, and they want to possibly confront them about how noisy they are during sex. And they, that Penelope Cruz and Ed Norton, want to invite them to have sex with them.
Oh God.
not only do we not want to stop.
Exactly.
Penelope Cruz and Ed Norton are going to ask Seth Rogen and whoever else, Olivia Wilde.
Yeah, it's great. It's just so well done. The performances are so... Rashida Jones and somebody else who I should know their name wrote it, and the script is phenomenal and the performances are great. And even though I am not always super into awkward comedy, I just loved it.
What is the name of it?
The Invite, period.
New from A24. And I am glad that Olivia Wilde has escaped
director jail.
The Don't Worry, Darling cycle.
Yes, and honestly, huge rebound. Yeah.
Yeah.
Much, much better film. And well, like, notably well directed also, because, you know, it all takes place in this apartment, but it never feels static. It doesn't feel stagey. It's a great movie.
I really enjoy one location.
Me too.
Films.
Me too. And I, like, this is a movie that feels like a play in a good way. Mm. Like, you are kind of like, you like fan cast it, sort of. You know, it's like, who could you imagine in these roles, right? Yeah. It's very cool. Yeah. Another movie I saw, which is probably already out of theaters, but look for on streaming, is Girls Like Girls. It's just a nice teenage coming of age love story. Where it's like a girl falling in love for the first time with another girl, and that other girl is afraid of being gay. Oh no. But like, it's sweet. The only problem is Zach Braff plays the dad, and I can't take him seriously. And there's like scenes where he's like talking to her about like her dead mom, and I'm like, this doesn't feel right.
Just waiting for the punchline.
Literally waiting for him to start being snarky and
right,
weird.
Waiting
to
show up.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Watching him go back to Scrubs made me more forgiving of him. Like, after all of his pretentious self-funded movies made me hate him, like, seeing him crawl back into the right hole, I was like, okay, you're fine again.
Yeah. I was also, another thing I'll say about Girls Like Girls is they're teenagers, but one of the actors' age is not available, but the other one, I was like, that woman is 30, and she's 28. And I was like, so she's the same age as Zach Braff's ex-girlfriend.
Florence Pugh's only 28?
Isn't she?
She is a youngin'. Anyway, Florence Pugh is 30.
Okay.
I kept being like, oh, I was curious about Girls Like Girls. Should I go? And I'm now having to consider whether or not it looks weird for me to go to
Girls Like Girls by yourself.
Yeah.
I saw it next to what appeared to be a queer teen and her dad, which
a
was
queen.
Just
I like
a
that.
Queen, a queer teen and her dad. And it was just the cutest thing in the world.
Oh.
Maybe streaming. Maybe when firing up our awards consideration.
I was just going to say, it's like one of those movies that, like, catch it if you catch it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like you don't need to go seek it out, but it's worth your time.
Anything else since our last recording?
I don't think anything else main. I saw Supergirl. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, if you were interested in Supergirl, you already saw it.
That's true.
Yeah.
That flew out of the consciousness. Yeah. Boy, were those Supergirl collector cups discounted at Cinemark yesterday.
Oh, boy.
When did we record? When? It was like 2 weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
I am at the point where I have to like look at the date, then look at my Letterboxd.
Am I supposed to be worried about Letterboxd being bought by Netflix? Is that supposed to concern me in some way?
I don't think so.
People were very doomy about it on Blue Sky, and I was like, I don't see how this is a problem. Am I an idiot?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm just my first time hearing about it.
Yeah.
I don't have any initial, like, I don't.
Like, why does it matter?
Like, I don't know. Yeah, like, I don't pay for Letterboxd. And
I do pay for it. And
but
like,
still, it's just like, I'm just keeping track of my shit. Like,
right, exactly.
Does anyone have any awareness of Maddie's secret?
No.
We don't need to get into it then. There was a moment where it seemed like this was going to be the indie trending thing that everyone was talking about. I watched it during that week, and this was a very acute, I think I am too old to understand what this movie is doing.
Oh,
I think this is for 20-something, early 20-somethings operating on some kind of internet level. It's odd because it's simultaneously like a very earnest tribute to made-for-TV issue dramas.
Okay.
Like it's about a woman who's a food influencer, but she secretly has bulimia and then ends up in an eating disorder inpatient.
Oh,
but
God.
All of that is played straight in what is otherwise like kind of a comedy. Like the drama is real, but it's also like tongue-in-cheek sort of satirizing influencer culture.
Okay.
There's a comedian who's the writer, director, star named John Early, and everything I read about it talked about him like he was a person whose name I should know, and I do not know his name.
Right.
And I don't, there's just a gender thing that I don't understand. I'm sure it's fine. Like, he's playing this female character. He says, I am not doing drag. I am just playing a female character that I wrote because I love this character so much. And he is not trans, but he is queer. But when I look at it, maybe my remembering fucking white chicks and everything,
right,
it registers as that's someone making fun of
me too. And I haven't even seen this. My hackles are up.
And then I read every review, and every like serious review is like 4 stars. What a bold, comedic, delightful, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, I didn't get this, whatever this did. I'm sure it did it. It wasn't for me, and I'm going to walk away. The end. So, movies that you have heard of. I enjoyed Minions and Monsters. Whoops.
It's secretly about Golden Age Hollywood, is what I hear.
Yeah, no, except they want to make movies in Golden Age Hollywood. And so there are, like, very carefully considered, like, trip to the moon jokes.
Okay.
In this. And it's like, you know, like Harold Lloyd is there for a minute.
Great.
It's I didn't expect any of this from my Minions movie. Also, 3 Academy Award winners.
Really?
Allison Janney, Christoph Waltz, and Jeff Bridges.
Great.
Hey, good for you for trying hard.
Have I broken your brain in this way, Sean? I apologize if I've
put
the sickness on
I'm
people.
I'm sitting watching Minions, and I was like, huh, there's several Academy Award winners.
I can't not count the winners and nominees when I watch things. I'm so annoying.
I'm surprised it didn't do better than it did, because the Minions were everywhere this summer.
Yeah.
Like, the marketing blitz was real.
It was over the top.
And it really didn't make any money. And I think it's better than Toy Story 5. But, what else? Moana, what are we doing? It was 10 damn years ago.
I laughed out loud at your Letterboxd review.
My Letterboxd review was really tempted to click, I've seen this movie before. It's just the same, like...
It's like shot for shot, right?
It's pretty much shot
That's
for
so
shot.
That's so unnecessary. Why? I don't know why.
Why?
The fucking money. They're like, this was our last big one. We don't think we can get away with doing Frozen live action, so I guess we'll do Moana live action, I guess is the thinking.
Why can't they get away with doing Frozen?
I feel like that would be like... Yeah, why can't they get away with doing Frozen?
I guess it's possible that they think the voices are too, like, they would have to cast Kristen Bell and Indina Menzel, yeah, and they're too old, yeah, I think is maybe the thinking.
Well, maybe they feel like they would cannibalize Frozen 4, which I'm sure is...
There's Frozen 4? Of course there is.
How are they? I don't know that. I'm just assuming.
Wait, I don't even remember Frozen 3.
Frozen 3 definitely is a thing, right?
I don't think so. I think it was just 2.
I'm Googling too much.
This is Barbershop Back to School.
Yeah.
Frozen 3. Oh, no. Next year, Frozen 3.
Okay, so Frozen 3.
So that's why they haven't that, because they know that that'll make money. Okay. But yeah, this is the most... This is the quickest Disney remake by more than a decade.
Yeah.
I looked it up. Previous record holder, Mulan, after 21 years.
Oh, my gosh.
So this is after 10 years. The stars are pretty good, but it's just a movie from a little while ago, but yeah, worse. You know, it's...
It's like, give the kids a chance to grow up and...
Take their kids.
Right, exactly. That makes more sense if we're going to do a remake like this.
I don't know why when they do these, they all look so drab and artificial.
That was going to be my question. Does it have that ugly look?
Yeah. It does have that ugly look. It looks like they're in their village, and it looks like the Enchanted Tiki Room. It doesn't look like... Just like the Beauty and the Beast when they're going through the village looks like Disney World. It doesn't look like France.
Right.
Like, it's all this beige blandness. Like, why do you... Who wants this? Mm. Apparently, lots of people, they make a ton of money. But anyway, not a fan of that one. Big fan of Evil Dead Burn. There's an Evil Dead out this weekend.
Yeah, I keep seeing trailers for that.
Okay.
I feel like they're not doing a great job advertising it, though, because I did not know until I walked into the movie theater yesterday that Evil Dead Burn was out.
I think if you were a horror fan.
I am not a horror fan.
Your computer and your phone would let
you. Get to me.
You gave me a look that I interpreted as there's an Evil Dead. I think that look was actually, it's warm in here.
Yes.
It is warm in here.
With no exaggeration, this is easily the most violent Evil Dead movie.
That really is a bold statement.
It's like, I don't understand. Well, I mean, sure. I mean, it's fine. But it's just kind of mind-boggling that we go from like the campy Evil Dead and like how it has grown into this.
One of the things I really liked about this is it has like... looking for a Kandarian dagger and references to all of that and the Necronomicon, but the specific subject matter is so somber. It's this family that this very toxic family, you know, the one it's set up by the young husband dying in a drunken car crash and going to his funeral, and actually having this like, we can't fuck around with this subject matter topic combined with the absurdity of a magic book made demons come in, like, really kind of balances it out well, I thought. There will be a moment where this goes too far for everyone. Mm. So if you're like casual, like, let's see a scary movie, this is not your pick.
It's not the one.
Backroom, the longer version of Backrooms is down the hall.
Backrooms, Everything Must Go edition. I love that.
But yeah, I liked it a lot. Is that it? Is that all I saw? Finally watched The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari. Good. And went and saw the 4K re-release of Jaws for the third time, but on the best screen yet. And so I can finally tell you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, yes, she's swimming naked at the beginning. Yay! Every release until now, it was a little uncertain, but now, big... crystal clear screen in 4K. Yes, confirmed.
Nice.
Camila?
Zola. I finally watched that.
Oh, I liked that.
I remember reading the actual tweets.
I was going to say, I remember the tweets.
Yeah.
I've never seen the film.
It's not bad.
Okay.
It's surprising because it's been 6 years, I guess, came out in 2020.
Oh, wow.
But Colman Domingo is in it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And
he's
amazing.
Great.
Fucking amazing.
And playing against type. It's not. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's and it's a short little jobby, and it's just like everybody's doing a really great job with the performances. I love the editing and how the story unfolds. Yeah, it's a good time. Also a good time. Billy Idol Should Be Dead, the documentary.
Yeah,
so good. It is so good. They incorporate this animation with a lot of his telling his stories, and it's just perfect. Like, one of the best ones is when he recounts when he first met David Bowie, like in a club, and he like threw up on him. Like it was, and there's animation involved in that. So it's really good. What was not a good time was Undertone.
You gave it a half star, is that right?
A star and a half.
A star and a half, okay. Yes. Which is like a half star for you. That's it's way harsher than you normally get on Letterboxd.
Yeah, it's so boring. And there's nothing happens. The whole thing is, once you get to the end, it's like, why? Why did we do any of this? And like the most, my Letterboxd review was the most unbelievable part was that they release a weekly podcast, but record in like 5 minute chunks a day. She's doing the one thing that was interesting, and now that I'm really thinking about it, the only other actual person on screen is her mother, who is actually dying, and she has no dialogue.
Oh, that's
so
kind
she's
of
like she's like sleep in the room the whole time, but that's the only other person we see on screen besides her. Everybody else is like she's doing this podcast with her friend who's in London or something like that, and they do it virtually, but he's never on screen either. Like it's just over the phone, and so like they're recording this podcast, and like they. It's like 3 a.m. and she like they start it and this goes for like 15 minutes. I'm like, oh, can we take a break? Okay, well, guys, we'll just come back tomorrow and do this. This is like maddening to me. I was like, you can't finish a fucking like 15 minutes? Are you joking? You have set up. You've got your shit there.
15 minutes is a digression for us. 15 minutes is like okay, Barbershop 2. Anyway,
right. So it's just so boring and bland and unnecessary.
I'm glad I didn't bother.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, let's not draw a movie.
We're not drawing a movie.
We will be back. It might be a little bit longer because we're going to go watch all of the little treats. Follow along if you like the Abominable Dr. Fibes.
And because we live in Pittsburgh on opposite sides of the giant hole that is being torn through the heart of our city.
There's this tunnel. They're doing a thing. I mean, I'm glad.
No, it's nice. Bridge safety is important.
You're replacing a bridge before it falls down, which is not what happened last time.
But do we have to do all this other extra construction at the same time?
I know. Well,
they said they're like scrambling to stop some of that. I'm like, I don't think that solves the problem.
Have either of you been on Fifth Avenue in Uptown recently?
Oh, I got into a shouting match with like a construction worker on Fifth Avenue yesterday.
I rolled down my window the other day and I was like, are there any roads that are open up to the hill? He laughed at me.
I'm in a lane, and then suddenly it's not anymore. Right. So I'm trying to get over. No one's letting me in. The light changes, and I like move forward like, well, you know, I got to do the thing where I'm kind of half in and half out. And then a construction worker opens a gate to let a truck leave, and I'm like, and he's like, if I didn't, my trucks would never get out. And I'm like, one, not my problem. Two, you're not a traffic cop.
Right.
You just work here.
Oh, my God.
So Pittsburgh's going through it. Yeah. So we're going to have maybe a little longer break between episodes, but we'll be back with three new non-Nomia little treat movies.
The Abominable. Did we check that none of these are Nomias?
I didn't actually
check. I'm sure mine is not.
Hold on. The only one I'm that curious about is mine. Okay, no. I'm sure yours is not. No, okay.
Okay, great.
We will be back with The Abominable Dr. Fibes, The Third Man, and The Perfect Host. That seems like a great time. Watch along with us this summer. Send us your thoughts somehow. We don't have an email or a Instagram. Yeah. Go to Instagram.
Yes. Nomia_podcast.
Before we get to that, Barbershop 2, back in business, February 6th, 2004. What was the number one song? Oh, we didn't do Letterboxed.
Oh.
I don't know.
Does anybody have it on their Letterboxd?
No, it is. It felt like a public service announcement list. Lighthearted movies with black characters in them because we deserve movies that aren't about slavery, racism, police brutality, and the like. It is.
Don't put Barbershop the Next Cut on that list.
Right. So that was more to plant a flag in like, hey, actually, that's one of those Letterboxd lists that could be useful for you.
Yes. Right.
Like that one that's like movies without sex scenes when you have to watch with your parents.
Yeah. That's a reference guide.
Or like horror movies that don't involve creepiness against women.
Yes. Mm. Yes. Yeah. Sometimes Letterboxd is good. I hope Netflix doesn't ruin it. Take it from there. I don't know. Robin, edit good like you always do.
Sure.
Barbershop 2, back in business, February 6th of 2004. What was the number one song in America?
Yeah.
Hmm?
Dun,
guess
dun,
not.
Dun, dun.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but I had to think about it because you're close.
Oh.
You so almost it, said it.
So is it different? Usher? I almost said it.
You said most of the letters, just slightly rearranged.
Hey, yeah.
There you go.
There we go.
All right.
So, like, WYAP did that thing where they were like the 500 best songs of the century so far. Mm. And this was 3 on the list.
Really?
I know. Really? And I was like, there are 2 whole songs better than this?
What were they?
7 Nation Army and Mr. Brightside.
I mean, Mr. Brightside will get me. Yeah.
But no, it's not cooler than cool.